Hi, this is Winners Chapel International, New York. Thank you for downloading our podcast. We hope this inspires you, builds your faith, and motivates you. Please make sure you subscribe to get new messages every week. Enjoy the message.
In Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 10, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, it says, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." That was the divine purpose of God for Jeremiah. He was divinely ordained to be a prophet. Praise the Lord. And in verse 10, the word says, "See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy, to throw down, to build and to plant." And all of these divine purposes were fulfilled in the life of Jeremiah. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ in this service this morning, God's divine purpose shall be fulfilled in your life. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Just like one of the testimonies we had, 2 years wedding anniversary. That was divine purpose. And now they are counting 2 years. I decree in the name of Jesus, everyone under the sound of my voice that desires to be married, in this service, God is changing your marital status. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now, important features of prophecies. Number one, important features of prophecies. Prophecies are characterized by divine help. Divine help. Every time there is prophetic release, don't be afraid. Know that the help of God is available for you. They are characterized by divine help. No prophecy can be fulfilled in the energy of the flesh. You cannot use your muscle. You cannot use your energy. You cannot use your own human ability to bring it to fulfillment. In Romans chapter 9, verse 16, the Bible says, "So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of the Lord that showeth mercy." It's by divine help. And it says that we have mercy on whom we have mercy on, and compassion on whom we have compassion on. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 9, it said, "For by strength shall no man prevail." But for you, this morning you receive divine help. Number two feature of prophecy, prophecies are not limited by our limitations. Prophecies are not limited by human limitations. Because God speaks according to his power, not according to our limitation. You remember the story in 2 Kings chapter 7. The man of God came forth, Elisha, and he prophesied that tomorrow, about this time, shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Then the Lord, on whose hand the king leaned, answered the man of God and said, "Behold, if the Lord will make windows in heaven, might this thing be?" He doubted the ability of God. He forgot that God is not limited. He has calculated, he has made permutations and projections that no, this thing cannot happen that way. But he had forgotten that it was a prophetic release and God is not limited. He created the heavens and the earth. Many a times we try to process prophecies with our mind. When you process it with your mind, you can't get far from it. Because the mind is limited from what the spirit is saying. All we need to do is to believe. And I pray in the name of Jesus, everything God said concerning you and I will come to pass. In the mighty name of Jesus. Say with me, prophecies are not limited by our human limitation. Now, there was a time Canaan Land was being built in 1998. So there were different constructions going on. They were building Faith Academy. That's the college. I mean, that's the secondary school. And they were like the middle school and the high school. Then they were building the sanctuary that would seat 50,000. So at some point, the crew and some of the leaders, they gathered together. The way this thing is going, we may not be able to meet up by September. So they said, "Let's go and meet Papa." They push some, say, "No, I'm not going. You go." "Okay, let all of us go together. When he see all of us, he will respond to us." So he said, "Sir, with all due respect, sir, and we have just come to let you know that since God said this tabernacle is going to open by September, let us suspend Faith Academy so that we can put all our resources on the tabernacle and we can complete it." Papa laughed. He said, "Which of the two can we complete by ourselves?"
Since we cannot complete the Faith Academy by ourselves, we cannot complete the Faith Tabernacle, why not let's leave it for God, who said we should go and build? That's how he dismissed all of them. And everything was completed. Hallelujah. Say with me, God is not limited. Now, how then is prophecy fulfilled? We must receive the prophetic word. We must receive the prophetic word. In Luke chapter 8, verse 11, he said, now the parable is this, the seed is the word. And in verse 15, he says, having heard the word, keep it. Having heard the word, keep it. Verse 15. So we must, keeping it means we receive it. And it's a more sure word of prophecy. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19 to 21. He said, you will do well when you take heed to it. So all we need to do is to receive it. Now, if we have to receive it, what is the importance of receiving this prophetic word? Because until you receive it, it cannot be fulfilled. What is the importance of receiving it? The importance, number one, it keeps us on the go. Now, let me say this. No prophecy can be fulfilled when you are not on the go. But before you can ever be on the go, you have to receive it. So the importance of receiving the prophetic word is to keep you on the go. It keeps us on the go. Every prophetic word received keeps us on the go. In spite of all challenges, in spite of all opposition, you are constantly on the go. That's why Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24 to 26, he said, so run that ye may obtain. In order for prophecy to be fulfilled, you have to run. You have to run in order to obtain. So what receiving the prophecy does is to keep us running, to keep us on the go. The same thing in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. Write the vision, make it plain upon the table, that he that readeth may run. Any prophecy you don't run with, believe me, it cannot be fulfilled. It might be so sweet, so nice, so productive, but if you don't run with it. So in order for us to run with it, we must first receive it. Look at the 10,000 churches this year. God said it in January. And now everything is completed by this Sunday. But did you think they were just watching the prophecy? No. They ran with it. People were on the move. When there was lockdown, people were still walking. Amen. 10,000 building, 10,000 pastors, interview for all of them, induction for all of them, houses and things like that. You think it's easy like that? No. It was a lot of effort. But remember, it's a prophetic word. It's not in the energy of the flesh. So divine help was available. But in spite of the divine help, people need to move. So God has told us our own is just 10 per person. So you have to move. You have to create your own strategy. You don't watch it. Anyhow, you have to do it, you do it. If it's by calling them, it's by praying for them, it's by going out, whatever you can do, God is going to help to do it. Praise the Lord. So you have to run. So when you receive it, the proof that you receive it is to run with it. Number two is it allays fear. It allays fear. Every prophetic word received allays fear. That is, it clears off fear. You are not afraid of it. Look at what God told Moses in Exodus 14:15. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Go forward into the Red Sea. Moses was not afraid to declare, go forward. And that was Red Sea right in front of them. Because he received the word, the prophetic word. So fear was terminated. Fear was truncated. I pray in the name of Jesus, every foul spirit of fear comes to an end in your life today. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 8, verse 31, the Bible says, what shall we say then? If God be for us, who can be against us? If it is God that said it, you can go and sleep with it. Praise the Lord. Because all fears will be terminated in the name of Jesus Christ. So everything God said concerning you and I this year, let's receive it. It's not too late. Even though we are in November, this November will be a November you will forever remember. Because the Lord will show up for you. There will be last minute miracles for you. There will be 11th hours miracle for you. But remember, you have to run with it. And don't be afraid of how God is going to do it. Just obey the instructions. Look at Joseph. Everything God said concerning Joseph, came to pass. Praise the Lord. Everything. God gave him divine instruction. He received the prophetic word, prophetic insight. He saw his future through the God-given dream. God gave him the dream. He believed it. The reason we know Joseph received it, he was not afraid to share it. Praise the Lord. When you receive the prophetic word, you will not be ashamed to share it. That is what we have just said. He ran with it by sharing it, and he was not afraid. It had less fear. That's the proof he received it. He shared with his brother. They hated him. He shared with his father. The father reprimanded him. But yet, he believed in the vision. Joseph believed he received the vision. We saw that in Genesis chapter 37, all through that chapter. And number two, Joseph exhibited a lifestyle of joy. A lifestyle of joy. They took him as a slave boy to Egypt. Now they sold him into Potiphar's house. In Potiphar's house, very excited. I believe that was why he was promoted. He met a lot of soldiers there. He met a lot of, and they, for a commander to promote a recruit that was not even trained over the soldiers. You know, when you are a commander, when you are an officer in the army, you are entitled to at least two officers to take care of your household. But Joseph was not even enlisted in the army of Egypt. But yet, he was their boss in that household. You know how he got there? He was so excited. I believe when he was there, he was not mournful, he was not complaining, he was not crying, he was just doing his chore. They call him, "Can you, Joseph, where are you?" "Yes, I'm here." And you quickly do it. Then he was promoted because of joy. And the reason I know he was joyful and praising, if you read through that chapter 37, is constantly, "And the Lord was with Joseph. And the Lord was with Joseph." And you know how you can command the presence of God? By praise. Because praise is the habitat of God. We learned that at WSF yesterday. God inhabits the praises of his people. When you're always complaining and you're always grumping and you're always in a murmuring state, and God does not enjoy that. Just like fish cannot survive an atmosphere without water. So God cannot survive. So God will be far away. But when you're always joyful, you're always excited, you're always singing, God will be there. So that was how I know Joseph was always joyful and praising and celebrating and rejoicing. Because constantly the word says, "And the Lord was with Joseph. And the Lord was with Joseph." Praise the Lord. Now, he was lied against. Then he was punished and sent into the prison. But all of these were levels. God is changing his levels unknowingly. From one level to another. The Bible says, "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning." Praise the Lord. Now, in the prison, he still carried that same joyful attitude. That, excitement. He was there. Doing his job, praising, and then he was promoted in the prison again. Praise the Lord. Look at that. Anyone that is full of joy, anyone that is always praising God, we have a special anointing that cannot be limited. Anointing that cannot be restricted. Praise the Lord. Right in the prison, Joseph was still praising and celebrating God. How did we know? When Pharaoh's servants, they were imprisoned with him, the butler and the baker, when they had the dreams, they were sad. They didn't know the dream. The dream really tormented them. He went to them. He was very cheerful and excited. "Why are you so sad? What's going on?" They said, "We had a dream." He said, "No, that's my area. I either have the dream myself or interpret for you. I know. Don't worry. I know a God that will do it." So they told him the dream. And he interpreted the dream. And while one of them was going, because he interpreted that the butler will return back to his office, the baker will be killed. And in 3 days, they sent for both of them. Truly, the baker was killed. The butler was returned. But before the butler, the one who gives a cup to Pharaoh, left, Joseph said, "Please, when you get to the palace, tell Pharaoh about me." That's human limitation. Most times, we also want to try to help God. He said, "Well, please, tell Pharaoh that I'm here. I was unjustly incarcerated there, but tell him I can do this, I can do that. I was a shepherd, I was this." I believe in our days, what he did was to present his own CV and try to tell him. But you know what? This man forgot about it for 2 years. I love the way, I can't stop talking about the way the Bible put it. He forgot him. Forget, forgot, forgot. Don't go and do that one in school. Praise the Lord. Amen. Forget, forgot, forgot. So he left the level of forgetfulness to forgotfulness. That was a conk one. If that was calculus, that would be third integral calculus. He forgot him for 2 solid years. Now, after 2 years, Pharaoh now had a dream. And the man said, yay! I met the man in prison, sir. For 2 years, I had forgotten. I'm so sorry, sir. This man, we interpret this. That was the hand of God. That was divine help. Because a man kept praising God. Lift up your right hand. I decree in the name of Jesus, where you had been forgotten, I decree heaven will remember you. Yeah. Heaven will open the book of remembrance for you. Yeah. And from prison, Joseph became a prime minister. The prophecy was finally fulfilled. You saw the story, Genesis 37, Genesis chapter 40, Genesis chapter 41. I decree today, in the name of Jesus, someone here is changing levels. In the name of Jesus. Hence, to see prophecy fulfilled, we must rejoice, celebrate, praise, like Joseph did. In Exodus chapter 15, verse 11, he said, who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods, who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders. Someone will experience wonders in this service. It's not just going to be next level. It will be next levels. Multiple change of levels. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Now, what does he has for us? What does God has for us in this next levels banquet? By way of introduction, God is committed to our continuous progress. God is committed to our continuous progress. Say with me, God is committed. So it is the will of God that you continue to progress. God is not happy about your stagnation, and he's not behind it. In Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 3, it says, ye have compassed this mountain long enough, turn ye northward. I mean, and you know, everywhere they represent the north on the map. Where is the north? Up. Turn ye northward means turn ye upward. Begin to move upward. So therefore, in the name of Jesus, someone is moving upward. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And number 2, by way of introduction, by redemption, we have been empowered for a life of continuous progress. Say with me, we are empowered. That's why we said there is divine help for you. We are empowered. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18. The path of the just, the redeemed, the just, is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. And number 3, even though we are committed, God is committed and we are empowered, we must possess a next level mentality to realize this. Possess a next level mentality. Possess a next level mentality. So everywhere you find yourself, begin to see next level. When you are working in a place, don't see that place, that position as the last position. Say with me, I possess a next level mentality. Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. God told Abraham in Genesis chapter 13, verse 14 to 15, it says, from the place where thou art, you know, northward, look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward, for all the land which thou seest. So it is as far as your eyes can see. So nothing, not even education, not even marriage, not even circumstances can limit you as far as your eyes can see. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, somebody is receiving the mind of Christ. A very fertile mind, a very creative mind, a very productive mind, and you are moving to your next levels. Let me hear your believing, amen. Amen. Having said that, let's consider keys to experiencing continuous change of levels. 5 of them this morning in quick succession. Number 1, we must continue to walk in line with the word of God. So walk in the word. Walk in the word. Anything that is contrary to the word of God is fake. Anything you can see from the word of God, you can take it to bank. So continue to walk in the word. In James chapter 1, verse 22 to 25, he said, be ye doers of the word. So what it means to walk in the word is to be a word practitioner. I have said on this altar that we don't have the problem of the word in this church. I mean, before we even settle with one, another one has come. Before we settle with one, look at it, we hear the word every day in this church. Every day. Except if you don't connect to the covenant or prayer. Every day there is a word. Every day. Every day. Every day. 365 days in a year. Every day. There is word. So our problem is not the word. We don't have the challenge of the word. We don't lack word. But the challenge, if there is any, is practicing the word. God is not looking for the one to receive the word. He's looking for the word, the one who will put the word to work. He's not just looking for the one who is going to hear the word, but to put the word to work. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers alone, deceiving yourselves. So the first key for continuous change of level is to walk in the word. Number two is to continue to engage with every divine instruction as may be handed down from time to time. Engage with divine instruction. That's key number two. These instructions will be coming from time to time. Now, this is the flow. You know, in business, there is what they call organizational structure, organogram. So you have the CEO, it will come down and branch to COO and CFO and CHR, then it branches down like that. So also in Christianity, there is also that organogram from God to his prophet. Then his prophet also send it to the pastors. Then the pastors also send it to us. Praise the Lord. So when the word comes from God like that, through his prophet, we need to engage it. They come as instruction. And that's the kind of instruction we have received. One winner, 10 souls. That is 10 souls for Christ, 2020. That's the instruction. And different instruction comes at different times like that. So we must continue to engage with every divine instruction. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 11 to 13, he said, I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right path. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened. That is, you're not going to poverty or restriction or limitation. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Instruction brings about life. Instructions bring about success. Instructions are the highways to successful life. So, in order to continue to enjoy next levels, every instruction that comes per time, dive into it. Engage with it. Instructions are not always convenient. They will not always be conducive, but dive into it. Number three, serve God and the interests of his kingdom. We must continue to serve God and the interests of his kingdom as a lifestyle. Someone is wondering, when will all of this church growth, soul winning, ever stop? The truth is, it will never stop until Jesus comes. It's a lifestyle. Serving God is a lifestyle. Serving God and the interests of his kingdom. Now, we have different ways we can serve God. There is spiritual service, which is the principle, reaching out to the lost souls, telling them about the love of God. There are various strategies to do this. You can send text message to them, like we had in the testimony, somebody forwarded the link to contact, and the contact was blessed with the service. The word inspired her. She was expectant again to receive the word. That's a way. You can go out on the field. On your way to work, you can talk to somebody at the train station. You can talk to somebody at the bus station. You can talk to your colleague at work, at lunch, when you go for lunch. You can talk to somebody. You go to grocery, you can talk to somebody. You can share the flyers. We have them on your way out this morning. You can pick at the exit. You can use it. Praise the Lord. Then you can also pray. This one, no contact. If it is contactless, you want to do, you don't want to have no contact, that's fine. You can also pray. This one, you pray in your house.
You pray on your way to work. Even if you are walking out, you can also pray when you walk out. Praise God. I mean, there is opportunities to do it. And you can do the two. Then you can use your skills. Look at all the virtual things we are doing. A lot of people are using their skills. Look at our testimony now. There's a team that put the testimonies together. Some will do the design, others will put the voice. Skills, you have that kind of skills. Yes, you are welcome to use it. There are so many people serving on ground in the church. Praise God. We can't do that one virtually. You can't serve. There are so many things you cannot do virtually. May I tell you the truth? Papa is not a virtual person. He doesn't, if you listen to him, he doesn't believe in virtual. Praise the Lord. Let me just, do not say I told you, but let me just tell you. He doesn't believe in anything virtual. So if you are truly a son of the prophet, you must strive to be in the house of God. This morning, you see, emphasize they go from strength to strength. Every one of them that appear in Zion. Don't let anything limit you. Serve God. People are serving here. How can you serve virtually? Somebody wants to drop envelope in the church, and you are usher, and you are in the house. How do you serve? No, there's no way. Praise the Lord. People are coming to church. Somebody needs to check their temperature. I don't know if they still do that. Amen. Because I come before all of you. Nobody check my temperature. If you want to check my temperature, you have to be here before I come. Praise the Lord. I went to a place last week Sunday. They pointed it in. I was like, please, so you want to shoot me? He said, no, this is temperature. I said, so that's what they do. She put it down 92.4. I look at every other person. My own was the lowest out of here. I said, after preaching two heavy service and the temperature still cool, calm. I said, this God, he pays to serve Jesus. Give the Lord a big, 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 big hand of praise. Amen. Praise God. I didn't even know whether that's a good one, but when I saw, I quickly ran through all of the, I saw that was the lowest. I said, that must be good. Right? Am I right? I hire any doctor in the house. The lower, the better, right? Or the higher, the better? The lower, the better. Praise the Lord. Anyway, number four, we must trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord to continue to enjoy next levels. Trust in the Lord. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. Look at what happened to Job. That was so pathetic. If you read through the book of Job, he suffered a lot. But hear what he said in Job chapter 13, verse 15. Though he slay me, yet I will trust in him, but I will maintain my own ways before him. Trust in the Lord. Don't let anything take your eye off the Lord. Don't let any form of disappointment. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And everything the enemy took from Job was fully restored. That's the essence of trusting in the Lord. As you put your trust in the Lord, whatsoever thing you are passing through, you will surely overcome in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And finally, number five, celebrate God's faithfulness. We must continue to celebrate the faithfulness of God no matter what. No matter what. The Bible says in Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruits be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. That looks like a dry season. That looks like nothing is working. That looks like a big issue. But yet, look at what he said. Yet, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God then will be my strength, and it will make my feet like hinds feet. And it will make me to walk upon my high places. Let's watch. Watch for murmuring. Watch for complaining. Don't go into it. Don't let the enemy rob you of your blessings. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 10, he said, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. But let's learn from Joseph. He praised God into his fulfillment. And this morning, one thing we have come to do is to praise God into the fulfillment of prophecy. It says, let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the herd yield and increase. And God shall bless us. And all the herd shall fear him. Welcome to your realm of next levels. Welcome to your level of overflow. Welcome to your season of fearful blessings. Rise to your feet this afternoon
Lift up your voice and let's appreciate the Lord. Give him praise and give him glory. Celebrate him, magnify him. If you have received the word, show that you have received the word. Get excited and give him praise. Give him glory, magnify him. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be glorified. Jesus, we thank you. Jesus, we praise you. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Please take your seat in a moment. We're going to do two things this morning. We are receiving the communion, and we are also doing warfare praise. Say with me, warfare praise. That's the name we put it in this ministry. That is, you know how to fight. If you fight in prayer, you know how you're going to, in the name of Jesus. Now, this time around, you are fighting by praise. That means you are transferring your battle to God. Praise the Lord. As in the days of Jehoshaphat. But you are dancing and you are praising with all your skills, with all your energy, with all your... You sweat out your sorrow. You sweat out your shame. You sweat out your stagnation. That's praise warfare. That's what we have come to do this morning. And that's what God has commanded us to do all throughout this month of November. And as you praise God with your energy, you praise God singing and dancing and rolling and jumping and celebrating God this morning, God is changing your levels. Some people this morning, your marital status will be changed. That is, you are moving from single to the married. Some are moving from jobless to employer of labor. Some are moving from joblessness to business owners. Some are moving from homelessness to having their own homes. Some are moving from trekking to having your own cars. Some are changing level from the sick to the healthy in the name of Jesus. Diverse change of levels this morning. But before we praise God, Isaiah chapter 38, verse 18 to 19 says, only the living can praise the Lord as I do this day. The living means someone who is living because he's spiritually alive. If you are not spiritually alive in Christ, you cannot praise God. And that means if you are not born again, you have not received Jesus Christ as your Savior and as your Lord. Even though you dance, even though you somersault, nothing is going to happen because he doesn't know you. And Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and you'll find rest for your soul. Perhaps you came into this service troubled. You came with a lot of problems. You came with different challenges this morning. Jesus wants to take it from you. But you need to come to him. You need to. He has already paid the price. All you need to do is to accept this offer. Bow your head with me. You want to accept the offer of salvation. Lift up your hand where you are seated as I pray for you this morning. You want to accept the offer of salvation. You want to surrender your life to Jesus, or you want to rededicate your life to him, I'd like to pray for you this morning. Say this prayer after me, in-house and online. Say, Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I know I have sinned. Forgive me all of my sins. Wash me with your precious blood. Come into my life. I make you my Savior and my Lord. I will serve you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, thank you for everyone who said the prayer in-house and online this morning. You said in your word, whoever comes to you, you will not cast out. Wash them with your precious blood. Write their names in the book of life. And I pray the same grace that brought you this morning will also keep you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to Winners Chapel International New York's podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and share the link with your friends and family. Visit us online at www.winnerschapelny.org and fellowship with us online on our YouTube channel, Winners Chapel International, New York. Have a blessed week. God loves you. See you next time.